Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Thank you to God for the time that you allowed us to be here. Dear God, we just pray to God that we'll be able to encourage one another in the Word, and dear God, that we will continually move forward in all that you have called us to move forward. In Jesus' name, the church say, amen. Well, I'm excited. Anyway, we're going to continue in this series, Preparing for Victory. Somebody say, preparing for victory. How many know you got to get ready before victory comes to you? Amen. You don't, victory doesn't come. The Bible says if you're just sitting down at home, that's not where victory is going to come. You know, we have to prepare to be victorious in this life that we are living. Amen. I started this series with John 16, verse 33. And let's go there real quick. John 16, verse 33. It says this: these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now Jesus instructs us to know once again that there's going to be troubles that come. Amen. Jesus never came to the world and said that, hey, everything is going to be good. You're not going to have a problem. He said, look, they hated me, so they're going to hate you if you represent me. Right? So when we think about who Jesus is and what he was saying, he was preparing us, somebody say preparing us, for the tribulation that was going to come, but also preparing us so that we can know that it's coming, but we can also be victorious. Amen? So no matter what's going on, remember that Jesus said you're going to have troubles, but be of good cheer because he has overcome and he has given us the strength to overcome as well. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read this today. We're going to go over this passage. When I was getting ready for this scripture or this series, this was the scriptures that God put in my heart, and we're going to read, and it's talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, right? Now, if people don't know what the 10 virgins parable is, you're going to learn about it today, amen? But also, one thing that we have to remember is the oil is not just oil. They didn't just have oil in these lamps. A lot of times when you see oil in the Bible, it represents the Holy Spirit, amen? Now, I'm going to say something real quick. You know, a lot of people say, hey, once you get saved, you're always saved. But I've seen people denounce the faith, right? You know, what that means, that I'm not no longer living that way. That can't work if that is once saved, always saved, right? So what happens is the Bible clearly instructs us that we as believers must continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. When you stop listening to the Holy Spirit, you're in turn listening to yourself. It's your way or the highway, right? And that is not God's way. Because God's way, Yahweh, is to trust God and not yourself. Amen? So this is kind of what happens in this parable. They were ready. These people were ready. They were listening to God. But then they started doing it on their own. They ran out of their oil. And now they wanted to try to do it on their own. And now that when a crisis comes, they're in need of oil. But let's read it. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. It actually says, now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. All right? Now, I thought they took some oil, but they didn't take any oil. Right? Once again, the oil is always a representation of the Holy Spirit. See, some people, they got the light, and they might know what the gospel is, but if they don't take the Holy Spirit with them, they're not going to be able to be sustained. Amen? You can start. How many know the Bible says it's not the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but he that endures to the end. Once again, it's something that you have to continue to do. The Holy Spirit, you have to continue to listen to him, or you can start off good and just end no good. Right? I mean, I love watching sports, and I've seen players come in, and they were great when they first started, right? And then they just couldn't last. Some of them got into drugs. Some of them, their bodies just couldn't take it. Some of them, they didn't obey the coaches. Some of them thought they knew it all, and they just didn't have what it take to stay. But guess what? God gives each and every one of us liberally the gift to stay, and that's his Holy Spirit. Amen? It says this. So they took no oil with them, but verse 4 says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Okay? But while the bridegroom was delayed, somebody say delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now, this is important because sometimes, well, when you think of midnight, most of the people are not ready for somebody to come to your house. Right? Most of us don't have people coming to our house at midnight. If somebody just knocks on your door, hey, midnight, what are you doing? Hold up, man. Who's at my door? What's going on? You're not ready to go nowhere. All right? But we're talking about being prepared for victory. One thing that believers must do is be prepared for the return of God. How many have seen people say, oh, God's coming back? Well, look, we lived in a world, and I think two times since we've been alive, people have tried to say Jesus was coming back on this day, right? 2012, oh, the Mayan calendar ends. Jesus is going to come back, right? So what happens is some people hear it and they get scared because, oh, man, I better get right. I've been living messed up, jacked up, tore up from the floor, right? They're not reading their Bible, so they're going to check out that person, right? Who, if they read their Bible, they'll know that no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son will return. But see, this is the thing. Some people will say that he's coming back and people don't even care, right? How many know we're living in the last days? How do we know? Because the Bible says there will be pestilence in the land. There will be wars and rumors of wars. If you really watch what's going on, there's wars going on right now that we don't even know about. That we are in, right? I just saw that the United States ramped up their attacks against the country that they're in right now. But we don't know too much about it, right? Besides what we read. So what I'm saying is there are so many things that are coming, that are going on in the world that are telling us that Jesus is to come. Because Jesus said, these things have to come before I return. Amen? But how many of us know people that used to live for the Lord, used to go to church, but now like they have nothing to do with God? Right? And they're not worried about the things that are happening. You know, I remember when 9/11 happened, you would have thought the church would have been full. But it didn't happen to them, so they're back to doing what they want to do. Somebody say, be prepared. See, there's going to be a time where God or something is going to come at that midnight hour, and you have to be prepared with the Holy Spirit. So what that means is you have to practice what you already know. You have to put that into practice. See, the important part of being a Christian is not just knowing the word, it's practicing the word. Amen? Practicing the word. Now, I was talking to the coach on our basketball team, and we were playing a game, and our kids, we were having a tough time today, right? And we were just like, man, they just got to do this. And he was like, well, if they don't get enough practice time, they're not going to be able to do it. And And he always says, we only get to practice one time a week, and then they get the game, right? So he's just like, it's so important to practice, right? But sometimes we overlook that, even as musicians. My mom be on me. My mom, she practices all the time. How many hours you practice still, Mom?
Not that much, maybe 3 or 4.
Just 3 or 4 hours a day, right? A week? Okay, well, a week. She used to do it more than that, right? But the importance of practicing, like I was playing the piano today, and I was like, man, I'm having so many problems. Why? Because I haven't practiced the piano as much as I practice the other instruments that I'm playing right now. So it's important to not only practice those things, but to practice being part of the kingdom of God. Practice sharing the word of God. Amen? What does that look like? Oh, man, somebody's sitting next to me today. Let me share the word of God. Whatever I know. Why do we do this? Because sometimes you'll find out that you don't know as much as you think you know. Amen? When you start saying, okay, I'm going to share the gospel to somebody, and when you really are talking to somebody, you better know what you're talking about, because they're going to make you look stupid if you don't know what you're talking about. Amen? I know so many people. I get the chance, and I pray, dear God, help me share the gospel with somebody today. And there's people that hear the gospel, and we plant seeds, right? The Bible says one plants, one waters, but God will get the increase. That means every time I preach the word of God or the gospel, somebody may not get saved that time. But I'm going to pray that God continues to work on their heart. Amen? So that's why I make it clear that Jesus is God. If we accept what he has done in our lives, we can have a renewed relationship with God. Amen? And people always say, oh, but I'm not in a religion. And I always say, it's not about religion. It's about having a clear relationship with God, where you can pray to God, you can hear God, and you follow him because of you understanding what he has done for you. But you have to practice that. It doesn't just happen. Amen? See, some of us, we want to go to the Super Bowl, right? We want to go to the Super Bowl of our lives, but if we haven't practiced, we're not going to be ready for that. Amen? Some of those players that are playing in this game tomorrow, the Super Bowl, they practiced their whole life just to get to that game. That was their goal in life since they were little. Ooh, man, when I grow up, I'm going to win the Super Bowl. That was their goal in life. But we have to have goals in Christ that we are working towards. Amen? If we're not working towards something, we're working towards nothing. It's that simple. Amen? Let's keep going. It says at verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now, it's funny that they asked this, and their response was, but the wise answer saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. All right? Now, it's funny that they said that, because aren't they supposed to be Christians? Why didn't they share the oil that they have? Right? Well, guess what? When we, once again, if we're talking about the oil as the Holy Spirit, I cannot share the Holy Spirit with somebody. It has to be something that they have. They have to have the Holy Spirit for themselves. Amen? I cannot share salvation with somebody in the sense of this is my salvation and your salvation. You have to accept Christ for yourself. Amen? That's why that's why I heard some church people say that God does not have grandchildren. Why? Because they have to be his child. Amen? You're not going to get saved hanging on the coattail of somebody else that is saved, because you have to have your own relationship with God. Amen? Amen. So when you see this, that's what you got to look at. This is not, oh, man, it's time to share this. This wasn't a moment to share. This is something they, like, if you think about this, even as a bride and a bridegroom, these brides had waited for this their whole life. Right? And then somebody says, hey, man, we need what you got because we're not ready. And they're like, look, you just messed up your chances. Right? I'm going and I'm ready. Somebody say, we got to be prepared. All right. Says verse 10. Let me go back to 9. But the wise answer saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were what? Somebody say it like they mean it. Those who were ready. Someone say ready.
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 Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he said, as surely I say to you, I do not what? Know you. All right. Now, once again, somebody say, what about this oil? Did he the brides that went in, they knew who they were going to see because they had a relationship with him. These other brides that didn't bring the oil, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Right. They had to go try to buy something. And this is the stuff that people don't talk about. Maybe them going to buy something was they were trying to find another way to get in. Right? Maybe they don't have the Holy Spirit. Maybe I can go get this. This may be able to do. Maybe I can just get this and I can still get in. Right? Maybe I should go listen to what this person over here is teaching because I didn't. How many know people that have heard about the Holy Spirit, but they're like, I don't want that. Right? That's too spooky. Right? Now, I'm going to be real. I grew up in church. I remember the section that was getting hit by the Holy Spirit and people was doing all crazy kind of stuff. You know, I looked at it. I was like, I'm sitting back here. I'm cool. Right? I mean, I think we have all had those situations where we saw it and we didn't understand it. Right? But sometimes I feel like we have more people that mimic the Holy Spirit than people that have the Holy Spirit. And I can fake speak in tongues and, you know, shout and do all that. Look, I always tell people the Holy Spirit is not a dumb spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to make you do dumb things. The Holy Spirit has come to give you wisdom and to remind you of the Word of God. This is why you got to be careful about all that hop, skipping, and jumping that people do. But if they hop, skip, and jump but have no understanding of the Word of God, is that really the Holy Spirit, or did they learn how to hop, skip, and jump? That's why this is not a popular message because, you know, churches, we love to play that organ and see somebody jump up and shout. And I understand some people are praising God. I understand that. But in praising God, you should still have a reverence and understanding of who God is. You should understand what his word, that's part of praising God. Okay, God, I praise you so much. Let me wake up in the morning and let me read this Bible. Why? Because I am excited about who you are and I want to know you more. Amen? I mean, when we first started dating, I remember talking to Precious until I fell asleep. Why? Because I was trying to get to know her. I already got her phone number. So I'm trying to get to know her, right? Now, when we got the phone number to God, but sometimes, how many know there's lots of phone numbers in my phone that I don't call, right? I even got some phone numbers that when they call, I have block, don't answer. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to have a relationship with some of those people that are trying to get my money, right? You know, sometimes that's how it is. And sometimes it's not even those kind of people. It's spam phone calls that are, hey, are you behind on your mortgage? I'm like, no, I'm not. And my wife hears me all the time. I'm not. Get this out of here. Because I'm not, I don't even want to hear that message. So what I have is, on the iPhone, they have a great feature that says, do not allow this number to call me again. And I press it. Because I don't want to have a relationship with them. But how many know when your friends call you, you answer? When God calls us, do we block or do we answer? It's very important because we got to remember this scripture right here. It says, verse 12, but he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. So what we have to do is say, God, reveal yourself to me. And I do this with people that are not saved. When they want prayer and I know that they're not living for God, I say, God, reveal yourself to us. Why do I say to us? Because, God, I still want to know you more. I don't make myself look better than this person that wants prayer, right? Because how many know that might just be the first step to them getting to the place that God wants them to be. So I never put myself or make myself look better than them. And they might say, man, you've been saved for a long time. It doesn't matter. I'm still getting to know God. It's still an ongoing thing for me to continue to get to know God. Amen. And for us all, it is. Because how many of you know we've had friends in our life when we were close, super close, right? Then now, man, I haven't talked to that person in umpteen years, right? I haven't even heard from that person. If they called me and started talking, it would be silent because we have no connection, right? Or you might start trying to bring up things that happened way back in the day just so you can have a conversation. Right. What the funny thing is, I think I seen this on some social media. It's like when you meet a friend that you haven't met in a long time and then you guys start talking. And then after that, it's just awkward silence because you realize, man, we're not on the same page no more. Why? But because you don't have a relationship. So our goal in preparing for victory, we want to be knowing who God is. We have to know who God is and be ready for his return. Amen? By accessing and utilizing the Holy Spirit and having a connection with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? I always say this. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the Word of God in your life in circumstances that you need to access it. Amen? You know, when you call on Siri, hey, Siri, I want to know blah, blah, blah. That's what the Holy Spirit it really does. Except for the Holy Spirit is smarter than Siri, right? Because sometimes Siri can't answer your questions, right? But if I pray, Holy Spirit, lead me today, guide me. These are prayers that we need to be praying if we want to be prepared for victory. And what is victory? Victory is walking out a real relationship with Christ so that people can see it and that we can even see growth in our life. Amen? It's so important that we continue to grow. If we don't continue to grow, one of my good friends, Sharp Skill, said, he said, if we don't grow, we die. When a flower stops growing, it starts dying. When trees stop budding, they start dying. Leaves start falling, right? So we don't want to be that, oh, man, we started good. Started good, looking good at the beginning. I could share it with anybody. But then after a while, oh, man, I'm tired. I'm running out of energy, right? The Holy Spirit is also an energy source. Amen? I can tell you, man, there's so many times I get up here and get ready to preach, and I'm so tired, but then the Holy Spirit start hitting. Man, it start hitting. And then I'm like, man, I could go on for a long time, but I don't do that to, you know, because I believe in a quick, powerful punch. Amen? Amen? Once again, verse 13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. But you got to be prepared. We don't know when God is returning, but we got to be prepared. We want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've done well. You've had a relationship with me. Now come with me. Right? And I'm just going to be honest. I believe that every person at some sort, even Christians, we fear the moment when God's going to come. Because there's sometimes we know that we didn't do what he called us to do. Right? And for some of us, it's not like, oh, I went to the club instead of going to pray, or I went to the club and all that. You know, for some people, that's their story. But for other people, it's we didn't obey when God told us to do something.
Right?
Right? And unfortunately, when God looks at it, he looks at club disobedience. Same thing. That's how God looks at it, right? But thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus is pleading on behalf of us. He's praying, God, keep them. Amen? That's so powerful. He's praying, God, keep Jane. God, keep Precious. God, keep me. God, keep all of us, right? He's praying that's what Jesus is doing right now. God, cover them, keep them, allow them to, even if they mess up, God, remember that I went and died for their sins. Right? They are forgiven because, I mean, Jesus is like, when God looks at us, he has to look at Jesus first. Why? Because we've accepted him. Amen? So we have to be ready. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And we have to be prepared for victory. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. Dear God, I pray, dear God, number one, that we would access your Holy Spirit and allow your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, oh God. Forgive each and every one of us for moving and doing things in our own strength, our own power. Dear God, we pray, dear God, that you would lead us and show us what to do, dear God, to be prepared for victory as believers. God, I pray to God that you would strengthen us and allow us to strengthen others with the things that we say, with the love that we show, and with your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. If that was powerful.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.